Interstellar Travel, an audiovisual presentation edited by Hector V. Information gathered from wikipedia.org and various other sources. See references at the end of the presentation. Introduction. Interstellar travel is the term used for hypothetical piloted or unpiloted travel between stars or planetary systems. Interstellar travel will be much more difficult than interplanetary spaceflight. The distances between the planets in the solar system are less than 30 astronomical units, or AUs, whereas the distances between the stars are typically hundreds of thousands of AUs, and usually expressed in light years, LYs. Because of the vastness of those distances, interstellar travel would require a higher percentage of the speed of light, or a huge travel time lasting from decades to millennia or longer. The speeds required for interstellar travel in a human lifetime far exceed what current methods of spacecraft propulsion can provide. Even with a hypothetically perfect efficient propulsion system, the kinetic energy corresponding to those speeds is enormous by today's standards of energy production. Moreover, collisions by the spacecraft with cosmic dust and gas can produce very dangerous effects both to passengers and the spacecraft itself. A number of strategies have been proposed to deal with these problems, ranging from giant arcs that would carry entire societies and ecosystems to microscopic space probes. Many different spacecraft propulsion systems have been proposed to give spacecraft the required speeds, including nuclear propulsion, beam-powered propulsion, and methods based on speculative physics. For both piloted and unpiloted interstellar travel, considerable technological and economic challenges need be met. Even the most optimistic views about interstellar travel see it as only being feasible decades from now. The more common view is that it's a century or more away. However, in spite of these challenges, if interstellar travel should ever be realized, then a wide range of scientific benefits can be expected. Most interstellar travel concepts require a developed space logistics system capable of moving millions of metric tons to a construction operating location, and most would require gigawatt scale power for construction or power, such as Star Wisp or Light Cell type concepts. Such a system could grow organically if space-based solar power became a significant component of Earth's energy mix. Consumer demand for a multi-terawatt system would automatically create the necessary multi-million metric ton per year logistical system. 1. Challenges. Distances between the planets in the solar system are often measured in astronomical units, or AUs, defined as the average distance between the Sun and the Earth, some 150 million kilometers or 93 million miles. Venus, the closest other planet to Earth, is, at closest approach, about 0.28 AU away. Neptune, the farthest planet from the Sun, is 29.8 AUs away. Voyager 1, the furthest man-made object from Earth, is 130.83 AUs away. The closest known star, Proxima Centauri, however, is some 268,332,000 AUs away, or over 9,000 times farther away than Neptune. Because of this, distances between stars are usually expressed in light years, LUs, defined as the distance that a ray of light travels in a year. Light in a vacuum travels around 300,000 kilometers per second, or 186,000 miles per second. This is some 9.46 trillion kilometers, or 5.87 trillion miles, or 63,241 AUs in a year. Proxima Centauri is about 4.243 light years away. Another way of understanding the vastness of interstellar distances is by scaling. One of the closest stars to the Sun, Alpha Centauri, a Sun-like star, can be pictured by scaling down the Earth-Sun distance to 1 meter, about 3.3 feet. On this scale, the distance to Alpha Centauri would be 271 kilometers, or 169 miles. The fastest outward-bound spacecraft yet sent, Voyager 1, has covered 1/600th of a light year in 30 years and is currently moving at 1/18,000th of the speed of light. At this rate, a journey to Proxima Centauri would take 80,000 years. Required energy. A significant factor contributing to the difficulty is the energy that must be supplied to obtain a reasonable travel time. A lower bound for the required energy is the kinetic energy, or K equals 1/2 mv². Where M is the final mass. If deceleration on arrival is desired and cannot be achieved by any means other than the engines of the ship, then the lower bound for the required energy is doubled to mv². The velocity for a manned round trip of a few decades or to even the nearest star is several thousand times greater than those of present space vehicles. This means that due to the v² term in the kinetic energy formula, millions of times as much energy is required. Accelerating 1 ton to 1/10 of the speed of light requires at least 450 joules, or 4.5 times 1,017 joules, or 125 terawatt per hour. As an example, the world energy consumption for 2008 was 143,851 terawatt hours. Without factoring in efficiency of the propulsion mechanism, this energy has to be generated on board from stored fuel, harvested from the interstellar medium, or projected over immense distances. The interstellar medium. A knowledge of the properties of the interstellar dust and gas through which the vehicle must pass is essential for the design of any interstellar space mission. A major issue with traveling at extremely high speeds is that interstellar dust may cause considerable damage to the craft, due to the high relative speeds and large kinetic energies involved. Various shielding methods to mitigate this problem have been proposed. Larger objects, such as microscopic dust grains, are far less common, but would be much more destructive. The risks of impacting such objects and methods of mitigating these risks have been discussed in the literature, but many unknowns remain, and, owing to the inhomogeneous distribution of interstellar matter around the Sun, will depend on direction traveled. Although a high-density interstellar medium may cause difficulties to many interstellar travel concepts, interstellar ramjets and some proposed concepts for decelerating interstellar spacecraft would actually benefit from a denser interstellar medium. Travel time. An interstellar ship would face manifold hazards found in interplanetary travel, including vacuum, radiation, weightlessness, and micrometeoroids. Even the minimum multi-year travel times to the nearest stars are beyond current manned space mission design experience. The habitual illumination energy requirement for each person is estimated to be 12 kilowatts. Other long-term energy requirements are still being investigated. More speculative approaches to interstellar travel offer the possibility of circumventing these difficulties. Special relativity offers the possibility of shortening the travel time through relativistic time dilation. If a starship could reach velocities approaching the speed of light, the journey time as experienced by the traveler would greatly be reduced. See dilation section. It has been speculated that general relativity might be consistent with faster than light travel, which could greatly shorten travel times both for the traveler and those on Earth. Weight calculation. It has been argued that an interstellar mission that cannot be completed within 50 years should not be started at all. Instead, assuming that a civilization is still on an increasing curve of propulsion system velocity, not yet having reached the limit, the resources should be invested in designing a better propulsion system. This is because a slow spacecraft would probably be passed by another mission sent later with more advanced propulsion, the innocent obsolescence postulate, as so called. On the other hand, Andrew Kennedy has shown that if one calculates the journey time to a given destination as the rate of travel speed derived from growth, even exponential growth, increases, there is a clear minimum in the total time the destination from now, see the weight calculation. Voyages undertaken before the minimum will be overtaken by those who leave at the minimum, whereas those who leave after the minimum will never overtake those who left at the minimum. One argument against the stance of delaying a start until reaching fast propulsion system velocity is that the various other non-technical problems that are specific to long-distance travel at considerably higher speed, such as interstellar particle impact, possible dramatic shortening of average human lifespan during extended space residence, etc., may remain obstacles that take much longer time to resolve than the propulsion issue alone. assuming that they can even be solved eventually at all. A case can be therefore made for starting a mission without delay based on the concept of an achievable and dedicated but relatively slow interstellar mission using the current technological state of the art and at relatively low cost. Rather than banking on being able to solve all problems associated with a faster mission without having a reliable time frame for the achievable. Communications. The round-trip delay time is the minimum time between an observation by the probe and the moment the probe can receive instructions from Earth reacting to the observation. Given that information can travel no faster than the speed of light, this is, for the Voyager 1, about 36 hours, and near Proxima Centauri it would take 8 years. For any reaction to new information to be carried out faster than the round-trip time, the onboard computers or crew would have to be autonomous or act autonomously. However, the round-trip delay time makes any crew not only extremely distant from, but in terms of communication also extremely isolated from Earth, analogous to how past long-distance explorers were similarly isolated before the invention of the electrical telegraph. Interstellar communication is still problematic even if a probe could reach the nearest star. Its ability to communicate back to Earth would be difficult given the extreme distance.
Section
2. Prime targets for interstellar travel. There are 59 known stellar systems within 20 light-years of the Sun, containing 81 visible stars. The following could be considered prime targets for interstellar missions. Existing and near-term astronomical technology is capable of finding planetary systems around these objects, increasing their potential for exploration. Alpha Centauri, 4.3 light-years away. The closest system, 3 stars, G2, K1, and M5. Component A is similar to the Sun. A G2 star, Alpha Centauri B, was thought to have one confirmed planet, but this was a false positive. Barnard star, 6 light-years away. Small, low luminosity, M5, red dwarf, second closest to the solar system. Sirius, 8.7 light-years away. Large, very bright, A1 star with a white dwarf companion. Epsilon Eridani, 10.8 light-years away. Single K2 star, slightly smaller and cooler than the Sun. It has 2 asteroid belts, might have a giant and 1 much smaller planet, and may possess a solar system type planetary system. Tau Ceti, 11.8 light years away. Single G8 star similar to the Sun. High probability of possessing a solar system type planetary system. Current evidence shows 5 planets with potentially 2 in the habitable zone. Wolf 1061, more or less 14 light years away. Wolf 1061C is 4.3 times the size of Earth. It may have rocky terrain. It also sits within the Goldilocks zone, where it might be possible for liquid water to exist. Gliese 581, 20.3 light-years away, multiple planet system. The unconfirmed exoplanet Gliese 581G and the confirmed exoplanet Gliese 581D are in the star's habitable zone. Gliese 667C, 22 light-years away, a system with at least 6 planets. A record-breaking 3 of these planets are super-Earths, lying in the zone around the star where liquid water could exist, making them possible candidates for the presence of life. Vega, 25 light-years away, a very young system possibly in the process of planetary formation.
Section
3. Proposed methods. Slow, uncrewed probes. Slow interstellar missions, based on current and near-future propulsion technologies, are associated with trip times starting from about 100 years to thousands of years. These missions consist of sending a robotic probe to a nearby star for exploration. Similar to interplanetary probes, such as used in the Voyager program, by taking along no crew, the cost and complexity of the mission is significantly reduced, although technology lifetime is still a significant issue, next to obtaining a reasonable speed of travel. Proposed concepts include Project Daedalus, Project Icarus, Project Dragonfly, and Project Longshot. Nanoprobes. Near light-speed nano spacecraft might be possible within the near future. Built on existing microchip technology with a newly developed nanoscale thruster, researchers at the University of Michigan are developing thrusters that use nanoparticles as propellant. Their technology is called Nanoparticle Field Extraction Thruster, or NanoFET, FET. These devices act like small particle accelerators shooting conductive nanoparticles out into space. Mikio Kaku, a theoretical physicist, has suggested that clouds of smart dust be sent to the stars, which may become possible with advances in nanotechnology. Kaku also notes that a large number of nanoprobes would need to be sent due to the vulnerability of very small probes to be easily deflected by magnetic fields, micrometeorite, and other dangers. To ensure the chances that at least one nanoprobe will survive the journey and reach the destination. Given the light weight of these probes, it would take much less energy to accelerate them. With onboard solar cells that could continually accelerate with using solar power, one can envision a day when a fleet of millions or even billions of these particles swarm into distant stars at nearly the speed of light and relay signals back to Earth through a vast interstellar communication network. As a near-term solution, small laser-propelled interstellar probes are based on current CubeSat technology, were proposed in the context of Project Dragonfly. Slow manned missions. In crewed missions, the duration of a slow interstellar journey presents a major obstacle, and existing concepts deal with this problem in different ways. They can be distinguished by the states in which humans are transported on board of the spacecraft. Generation ships. A generation ship or world ship is a type of interstellar ark in which the crew that arrives at the destination is descended from those who started the journey. Generation ships are not currently feasible because of the difficulty of constructing a ship of the enormous required scale and the great biological and sociological problems that life aboard such a ship raises. But many concepts have been proposed, especially detailed are those of the mid-1970s from NASA and Gerald O'Neill. Suspended animation. Scientists and writers have postulated various techniques for suspended animation. These include human hibernation and cryonic preservation. Although neither is known to be currently practical, they offer the possibility of sleeper ships in which the passengers lie inert for the long duration of the voyage, then later to be reanimated, thus escaping the effects of aging. Frozen embryos. Robotic interstellar missions carrying some number of frozen early-stage human embryos is another theoretical possibility. This method of space colonization requires, among other things, the development of artificial uterus, the prior detection of a habitable terrestrial planet, and advances in the field of fully autonomous mobile robots and educational robots that would replace human parents. Island hopping. Interstellar space is not completely empty. It contains trillions of icy bodies ranging from small asteroids in the Oort cloud to possible rogue planets. There may be ways to take advantage of these resources for a good part of an interstellar trip, slowly hopping from body to body, or setting up way stations along the way. Fast missions. If a spaceship could average 10% of the speed of light and decelerate at the destination for manned missions, this would be enough to reach Proxima Centauri in 40 years. Several propulsion concepts have been proposed that might eventually be developed to accomplish this, but none of them are ready for near-term, within a few decades, developments at acceptable cost. Time dilation. Assuming faster-than-light travel is impossible, one might conclude that a human can never make a round trip farther from Earth than 20 light-years if the traveler is active between the ages of 20 and 60. A traveler would never be able to reach more than a very few star systems that exist within the limit of 20 light-years from Earth. This, however, fails to take into account time dilation. Clocks aboard an interstellar ship would run slower than Earth clocks. So if a ship's engines were capable of continuously generating around 1G of acceleration, this is comfortable for humans. The ship could reach almost anywhere in the galaxy and return to Earth within 40 years ship time. Upon return, there would be a difference between the time elapsed on the astronaut's ship and the time elapsed on Earth. For example, a spaceship could travel to a star 32 light years away, initially accelerating at a constant 1.03G, for example, 10.1 meters per second squared for 1.32 years ship time, then stopping its engines and coasting for the next 17.3 years ship time at a constant speed, then decelerating again for 1.32 ship years and coming to a stop at the destination. After a short visit, the astronaut could return to Earth the same way. After the full round trip, the clocks on board the ship show that 40 years have passed. But according to those on Earth, the ship comes back 76 years after launch. From the viewpoint of the astronaut on board, clocks seem to be running normally. The star ahead seems to be approaching at a speed of 0.87 light years per ship year. The universe would appear contracted along the direction of travel to half the size it had when the ship was at rest. The distance between the star and the sun would seem to be 16 light years as measured by the astronaut. At higher speeds, the time on board will run even slower, so the astronaut could travel to the center of the Milky Way 30,000 light years from Earth and back in 40 years ship time. But the speed according to Earth clocks will always be less than 1 light year per Earth year. So, when back home, the astronaut will find that more than 60,000 years will have passed on Earth. Constant acceleration. Regardless of how it is achieved, if a propulsion system can produce acceleration continuously from departure to arrival, then it is the fastest method of travel. A constant acceleration journey is one where the propulsion system accelerates the ship at a constant rate for the first half of the journey, and then decelerates for the second half, so that it arrives at the destination stationary relative to where it began. If this were performed with an acceleration similar to that experienced at the Earth's surface, it would have the added advantage of producing artificial gravity for the crew. Supplying the energy required, however, would be prohibitively expensive with current technology. From the perspective of a planetary observer, the ship will appear to accelerate steadily at first, but then more gradually as it approaches the speed of light, which it cannot exceed. It will undergo hyperbolic motion. The ship will be close to the speed of light after about a year of accelerating and remain at that speed until it breaks for the end of the journey. From the perspective of an onboard observer, the crew will feel a gravitational field opposite to the engine's acceleration, and the universe ahead will appear to fall in that field, undergoing hyperbolic motion. As part of this, distances between objects in the direction of the ship's motion will gradually contract until the ship begins to decelerate, at which time the onboard observer's experience of the gravitational field will be reversed. When the ship reaches its destination, if it were to exchange a message with its origin planet, it would find that less time had elapsed on board than had elapsed for the planetary observer due to time dilation and length contraction. The result is an impressively fast journey for the crew.
Section 4.
Propulsion. Rocket concepts. All rocket concepts are limited by the rocket equation, which sets the characteristic velocity available as a function of exhaust velocity and mass ratio. The mass ratio of initial MO, including fuel, to final MF, fuel depleted mass. Very high specific power, the ratio of thrust to total vehicle mass, is required to reach interstellar targets within the sub-century timeframes. Some heat transfer is inevitable, and a tremendous heating load must be adequately handled. Thus, for interstellar rocket concepts of all technologies, a key engineering problem, seldom explicitly discussed, is limiting the heat transfer from the exhaust stream back into the vehicle. Ion engine. A type of electric propulsion is spacecraft such as Dawn use an ion engine. In an ion engine, electric power is used to create charged particles of the fuel, usually the gas xenon, and accelerate them to extremely high velocities. The exhaust velocity of the conventional rocket is limited by the chemical energy stored in the fuel's molecular bonds, which limits the thrust to about 5 kilometers per second. This gives them power for liftoff from Earth, for example, but limits the top speed. By contrast, ion engines have low force, but the top speed in principle is limited only by the electrical power available on the spacecraft and on the gas ions being accelerated. The exhaust speed of the charged particles range from 15 kilometers per second to 35 kilometers per second. Nuclear fission powered fission electric. Nuclear electric or plasma engines operating for long periods at low thrust and powered by fission reactors have the potential to reach speeds much greater than chemically powered vehicles or nuclear thermal rockets. Such vehicles probably have the potential to power solar system exploration with reasonable trip times within the current century. Because of the low thrust propulsion, they would be limited to off-planet deep space operation. Electrically powered spacecraft propulsion powered by a portable power source, say a nuclear reactor producing only a small acceleration, would take centuries to reach, for example, 15% of the velocity of light, thus unsuitable for interstellar flight during a single human lifetime. Nuclear fission powered fission fragment. Fission fragment rockets use nuclear fission to create high speeds of jets of fission fragments, which are ejected at speeds of up to 12,000 kilometers per second. With fission, the energy output is approximately 0.1% of the total mass energy of the reactor fuel and limits the effective exhaust velocity to about 5% of the velocity of light. For maximum velocity, the reaction mass should optimally consist of fission products, the ash of the primary energy source, in order that no extra reaction mass need be bookkept in the mass ratio. This is known as a fission fragment rocket. Thermal propulsion engines such as Nerva produce sufficient thrust, but can only achieve relatively low velocity exhaust jets. So to accelerate to the desired speed would require an enormous amount of fuel. Nuclear fission powered nuclear pulse. Based on work in the late 1950s to the early 1960s, it has been technically possible to build spaceships with nuclear pulse propulsion engines, for example, driven by a series of nuclear explosions. This propulsion system contains the prospect of very high specific impulse, space travels equivalent of fuel economy, and high specific power. Project Orion team member Freeman Dyson proposed in 1968 an interstellar spacecraft using nuclear pulse propulsion that used pure deuterium fusion detonations with a very high fuel burnup fraction. He computed an exhaust velocity of 15,000 kilometers per second and a 100,000-ton space vehicle able to achieve 20,000 kilometers per second delta V, allowing a flight time to Alpha Centauri of 130 years. Later studies indicate that the top cruise velocity that can theoretically be achieved by Teller Ulam thermonuclear unit-powered Orion starship, assuming no fuel is saved for slowing back down, is about 8% to 10% of the speed of light, 0.8 to 0.1 C. An atomic fission Orion can achieve perhaps 3 to 5% of the speed of light. A nuclear pulse drive starship powered by fusion antimatter catalyzed nuclear pulse propulsion units would be similarly in the 10% range, and pure matter antimatter annihilation rockets would be theoretically capable of obtaining a velocity of about 50 to 80% of the speed of light. In each case, saving fuel for slowdown halves the maximum speeds. The concept of using a magnetic sail to decelerate the spacecraft as it approaches its destination has been discussed as an alternative to using propellant. This would allow the ship to travel near the maximum theoretical velocity. Alternative designs utilizing similar principles include Project Longshot, Project Daedalus, and Minimag Orion. The principle of external nuclear pulse propulsion to maximize survivable power has remained common among serious concepts for interstellar flight without external power beaming and for very high performance interplanetary flight. Nuclear fission powered nuclear pulse. In the 1970s, nuclear pulse propulsion concept further was refined by Project Daedalus and use of externally triggered inertial confinement fusion, in this case producing fusion explosion via compressing fusion fuels pellets with high-powered electron beams. Since then, lasers, ion beams, neutral particle beams, and hyperkinetic projectiles have been suggested to produce nuclear pulses for propulsion purposes. A current impediment to the development of any nuclear explosion-powered spacecraft is the 1963 Partial Test Ban Treaty, which includes a prohibition on the detonation of any nuclear device, even non-weapon based, in outer space. This treaty would therefore need to be renegotiated, although a project on the scale of an interstellar mission using currently foreseeable technology would probably require international cooperation on at least the scale of the International Space Station. Nuclear fusion rockets. Fusion rocket starships powered by nuclear fusion reactions should conceivably be able to reach speeds of the order of 10% of that of light, based on energy considerations alone. In theory, a large number of stages could push a vehicle arbitrarily close to the speed of light. These would burn such light elements fuels as deuterium, tritium, 3 helium, 11 boron, and 7 lithium. Because fusion yields about 0.3 to 0.9% of the mass of the nuclear fuel as released energy, it is energetically more favorable than fission, which releases less than 0.1% of the fuel's mass energy. The maximum exhaust velocities potentially energetically available are correspondingly higher than for fission, typically 4 to 10% of C, or the speed of light. However, the most easily achievable fusion reactions release a large fraction of their energy as high energy neutrons, which are a significant source of energy loss. Thus, although these concepts seem to offer the best nearest term prospects for travel to the nearest stars within a long human lifetime, They still involve massive technological and engineering difficulties, which may turn out to be intractable for decades or centuries. Early studies include Project Daedalus, performed by the British Interplanetary Society in 1973 to 1978, and Project Longshot, a student project sponsored by NASA and the U.S. Naval Academy, completed in 1988. Another fairly detailed vehicle system, Discovery 2, designed and optimized for crewed solar system exploration based on the D3HE reaction, but using hydrogen as reaction mass, has been described by a team from NASA's Glenn Research Center. It achieves characteristic velocities of less than 300 kilometers per second, with an acceleration of more or less 1.7 times 10 to the negative 3 g, with a ship initial mass of more or less 1,700 metric tons and payload fraction above 10%. Although these are still far short from the requirements for interstellar travel on human timescales, the study seems to represent a reasonable benchmark towards what may be approachable within several decades, which is not impossibly beyond the current state of the art. Based on the concept's 2.2% burn-up fraction, it could achieve a pure fusion product exhaust velocity of more or less 3,000 kilometers per second. Antimatter rockets. An antimatter rocket would have a far higher energy density and specific impulse than any other proposed class of rocket. If energy resources and efficient production methods are found to make antimatter in the quantities required and store it safely, it would be theoretically possible to reach speeds of several tens of percent of that of light, where their antimatter propulsion could lead to the higher speeds, less than 90% of that of light, at which relativistic time dilation would become more noticeable, thus making time pass at a slower rate for the travelers as perceived by an outside observer. It's doubtful, owing to the large quantity of antimatter that would be required, speculating that production and storage of antimatter should become feasible. Two further issues need to be considered. First, the annihilation of antimatter. Much of the energy is lost as high-energy gamma radiation, and especially as neutrinos, so that only about 40% of mc squared would actually be available if the antimatter were simply allowed to annihilate into radiation thermally. Even so, the energy available for production would be substantially higher than the more or less 1% of the mc squared yield of nuclear fusion, the next best rival candidate. Second, heat transferred from exhaust to the vehicle seems likely to transfer enormous waste energy into the ship. For example, 0.1 g ship acceleration approaching 0.3 trillion watts per ton of ship mass. Considering the large fraction of the energy that goes into penetrating gamma rays, even assuming shielding were provided to protect the payload and passengers on a crew vehicle, some of the energy would inevitably heat the vehicle and may thereby prove a limiting factor if useful accelerations are to be achieved. More recently, Winterberg proposed that a matter-antimatter GEV gamma-ray laser photon rocket is possible by a relativistic proton-antiproton pinch discharge, where the recoil from the laser beam is transmitted to the Mosul bar effect to the spacecraft. External energy source rockets. Rockets deriving their power from external sources, such as laser, could replace their internal energy source with an energy collector, potentially reducing the mass of the ship greatly and allowing much higher traveled speeds. Jeffrey A. Landis has proposed for an interstellar probe with energy supplied by an external laser from a base station powering an ion thruster. Non-rocket concepts. A problem with all traditional rocket propulsion methods is that the spacecraft would need to carry its fuel with it, thus making it very massive in accordance with the rocket equation. Several concepts attempt to escape from this problem. Interstellar ramjets. In 1960, Robert W. Buzzard proposed the Buzzard ramjet, a fusion rocket in which a huge scoop would collect the diffused hydrogen in interstellar space, burn it on the fly using a proton-proton chain reaction, and expel it out the back. Later calculations with more accurate estimates suggest that the thrust generated would be less than the drag caused by any conceivable scoop design. Yet the idea is attractive because the fuel would be collected en route, commensurate with the concept of energy harvesting, so the craft could theoretically accelerate to near the speed of light. Beamed propulsion. A light sail or magnetic sail powered by a massive laser or particle accelerator in the Homestar system could potentially reach even greater speeds than rocket or pulse propulsion methods, because it would not need to carry its own reaction mass, and therefore would only need to accelerate the craft's payload. Robert L. Forward proposed a means for decelerating a interstellar tight sail in the destination star system without requiring a laser array to be present in that system. In this scheme, a smaller secondary cell is deployed to the rear of the spacecraft, whereas the large primary cell is detached from the craft to keep moving forward on its own. Light is reflected from the large primary cell to the secondary cell, which is used to decelerate the secondary cell and the spacecraft payload. A magnetic cell could also decelerate at its destination without depending on carriage fuel or a driving beam in the destination system by interacting with the plasma found in the solar wind of the destination star and the interstellar medium. The following table lists some example concepts using beamed laser propulsion as proposed by the physicist Robert L. Forward. Theoretical concepts. Quark matter. Scientist T. Marshall Eubanks thinks that nuggets of condensed quark matter may exist at the centers of some asteroids, created during the Big Bang at each nugget with a mass of 1,010 to 1,011 kilograms. If so, these could be an enormous source of energy, as the nuggets could be used to generate huge quantities of antimatter, about 1 million tons of antimatter per nugget. This would be enough to propel a spacecraft close to the speed of light. Faster than light travel. Scientists and authors have postulated a number of ways by which it might be possible to surpass the speed of light, but even the most serious-minded of these are highly speculative. It is also debatable whether faster than light travel is physically possible, in part because of causality concerns. Travel faster than light may, under certain conditions, permit travel backwards in time within the context of special relativity. Proposed mechanisms for faster than light travel within the theory of general relativity require the existence of exotic matter, and it is not known if this could be produced in sufficient quantities. The Alcubierre drive. In physics, the Alcubierre drive is based on an argument within the framework of general relativity and without the introduction of wormholes, that it is possible to modify a space-time in a way that allows a spaceship to travel within an arbitrarily large speed by a local expansion of space-time behind the spaceship and an opposite contraction in front of it. Nevertheless, this concept would require a spaceship to incorporate a region of exotic matter or hypothetical concept of negative mass. Wormholes. Wormholes are conjectural distortions in space-time that theorists postulate could connect two arbitrary points in the universe across an Einstein-Rosen bridge. It is not known whether wormholes are possible in practice, although there are solutions to the Einstein equation of general relativity that allow for wormholes. All of the current known solutions involve some assumptions, for example, the existence of negative mass, which may be unphysical. However, Kramer, colleagues, and others argue that such wormholes may have been created in the early universe, stabilized by cosmic streams. The general theory of wormholes is discussed by Weiser in the book Laurentian Wormholes.
Section 5.
Designs and Studies. The Ensman Starship. The Ensman Starship, as detailed by G. Harry Stein in October 1973 issue of Analog, was a design for a future starship based on the ideas of Robert Duncan Ensman. The spacecraft itself, as proposed, used a 12 million ton ball of frozen deuterium to power 12 to 24 thermonuclear pulse propulsion units, twice as long as the Empire State Building, and assembled in orbit. The spacecraft was part of a larger project preceded by interstellar probe and telescopic observation of target star systems. Project Hyperion. Project Hyperion is one of the projects of Icarus Interstellar. Many studies of interstellar craft focus on vessels that are unmanned. This is because the task of starship construction is considered sufficiently challenging without the additional complexity of creating an environment where humans could survive for decades or even centuries. Project Hyperion will tackle this specific challenge head-on and perform a preliminary study that defines concepts for a crewed interstellar starship. Major areas of study include propulsion, environmental control, life support, social studies related to crewed multi-decadal, multi-century missions, habitat studies, communications, psychology of deep space flight, mission objectives, and ethics of sending humans to the stars. Like with all complex system developments, a major challenge is to merge the results from the domain-specific sub-studies into a coherent system design. This shall be accomplished by using up-to-date systems engineering approaches like concurrent engineering and model-based systems engineering. NASA research. NASA has been researching interstellar travel since its formation, translating important foreign language papers and conducting early studies on applying fusion propulsion in the 1960s, a laser propulsion in the 1970s to interstellar travel. The NASA Breakthrough Propulsion Physics Program terminated in FY 2003 after a six-year, $1.2 million study because no breakthroughs appear imminent. Identified some breakthroughs that are needed for interstellar travel to be possible. Jeffrey A. Landis of NASA's Glenn Research Center states that a laser-powered interstellar sail ship could possibly be launched within 50 years.
Using the methods of space travel, I think that ultimately we are going to do it. It's just a question of when and who.
Landis said in an interview.
Rockets are too slow to send humans on to interstellar missions.
Instead, he envisions interstellar craft with extensive sails, propelled by laser light to about 1/10 the speed of light. It would take such a ship about 43 years to reach Alpha Centauri if it passed through the system. Slowing down to stop at Alpha Centauri could increase the trip to 100 years, whereas a journey without slowing down raises the issue of making sufficient accurate and useful observations and measurements during a flyby. The 100-Year Starship Study. The 100-Year Starship, or 100YSS, is the name of the overall effort that will, over the next century, work toward achieving interstellar travel. The effort will also go by the moniker 100YSS. The 100-Year Starship Study is the name of a one-year project to assess the attributes and lay the groundwork for an organization that can carry forward the 100-Year Starship vision. Harold Sonny Weitz from NASA's Johnson Space Center is a member of Icarus Interstellar, the nonprofit foundation whose mission is to realize interstellar flight before the year 2100. At the 2012 meeting of the 100YSS, he reported using a laser to try to warp space-time by one part in 10 million with the aim of helping to make interstellar travel possible. Other designs. Starship design organizations include Project Orion, manned stellar starship from 1958 to 1968, Project Daedalus, unmanned interstellar probe from 1973 to 1978, StarWisp, unmanned interstellar probe, 1985, Project Longshot, unmanned interstellar probe, 1987 to 1988, Starseed Launcher, fleet of unmanned interstellar probes, 1996, Project Valkyr, manned interstellar ship, 2009, Project Icarus, unmanned interstellar probe, 2009 to 2014. Sundiver, unmanned interstellar probe. Breakthrough Starshot, fleet of unmanned interstellar probes, announced in April 12, 2016.
Section 6.
Nonprofit organizations. A few organizations dedicated to interstellar propulsion research and advocacy for the case exist worldwide. These are still in their infancy, but are already backed up by a membership of a wide variety of scientists, students, and professionals. The 100-Year Starship, Icarus Interstellar, the Tau Zero Foundation in USA, Initiative for Interstellar Studies in the UK, Fourth Millennium Foundation in Belgium, and the Space Development Cooperative in Canada, are nothing but a few.
Section 7.
Skepticism. The energy requirements make interstellar travel very difficult. It has been reported at the 2008 Joint Propulsion Conference. Multiple experts opined that it was
improbable that humans would ever explore beyond the solar system.
Bryce N. Cassenti, an associate professor with the Department of Engineering and Science at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, stated,
at least 100 times the total energy output of the entire world in a given year would be required to send a probe to the nearest star.
Astrophysicist Stan Odenwald stated that the basic problem is that
through intensive studies of thousands of detected exoplanets, most of the closest destinations within the 50 light years do not yield Earth-like planets in the star's habitable zones. Given the multi-trillion dollar expense of some of the proposed technologies, travelers will have to spend up to 200 years traveling at 20% the speed of light to reach the best known destinations. Moreover, once the travelers arrive at their destination, by any means, they will not be able to travel down to the surface of the target world and set up a colony unless the atmosphere is non-lethal. The prospect of making such a journey only to spend the rest of the colony's life inside a sealed habitat and venturing outside in a spacesuit may eliminate many prospective targets from the list.
More skepticism. Traveling to other stars poses humongous challenges. First, distance. Drive with enough speed to get there and at a reasonable time is one challenge. Voyager 1, the fastest spacecraft sent by man, would need 80,000 years to reach the closest star. Proxima Centauri is 10,000 times farther away than the last solar system planet. Power. Accelerating 1 ton to 1/10 of the speed of light requires the total amount of power generated by humankind in a year in the whole Earth. Energy has to come from either storage fuel, increasing the load further, harvested from space, which we discussed in the Buzzard spacecraft, which is at the moment unfeasible, and this must be projected across immense distances. Third is the interstellar medium, which has gas and dust that can severely damage spaceships traveling at fast speeds if not properly shielded, which shielding is a major engineering problem at the moment. And last but not least, radiation is now known to be quite high in outer space, compromising long-term health of astronauts. The references are here. And this is the end of the presentation. Thank you for watching. See you next time.